Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I am your overeducated and underemployed host, Alon, and beside me is the game designer, Ara.
Hey, what's going on, Alon?
We have such a wonderful show for you today. I felt like saying that. I was like, I'm going to say that when I start the show. We have a big show for you today, everybody.
Well, indeed, we are firmly ensconced what is this material?
We are ensconced in granite.
Yeah, in the granite table of KFNX here.
You see, it hasn't always been like this. A year ago, they were like, hey, we're going to snazz up this joint. They painted the walls, put some sound protection on there, and then gave us granite countertops.
They added walls.
Yeah, I really just used the underside of the table to file my nails. That's all it's for. Anyway, we have a show. Thank you very much. Over there is Andrew running the boards, making sure that we stay on the air, or sometimes dropping from there. You got to tell me if you hit the button if I say something bad, all right, Andrew. I go home and I edit the show, and we drop out. The voice isn't there. And Andrew, I go home and I edit the show, and we drop out. The voice isn't there, and it repeats.
Well, maybe you should stop cussing so much, Alon.
I didn't say anything bad last show. I think I said ass once. And we've got, it's crazy. So I need, you tell me if we dump, because if you tell me we don't dump. What? Did they hear you say that to me on the air? No, but right now, are they hearing you talk to me right now? Oh, wow. You. All right. I can never tell with Andrew. All right, let's get on with the show here.
Okay, let's get down to business.
Wonderful news. Something wonderful happened to me this week. You see...
Do I detect the twinge of sarcasm in your voice?
Perhaps. Andrew, you're going to love this. You're going to be very happy here. I did my normal thing on Monday. No big deal. Came and did the show Monday night. Great. Yeah. Enjoyed myself. Tuesday, I went out after work to a bar or a joint or whatever with some coworkers. We had a little evening out. It was good times.
A soiree, perhaps.
Yeah, something like that. I came home thinking, all right, I need to edit my show, make sure it gets on the air for people to listen to. That's what I do Tuesday night. And I came home, and I noticed something's a little... Why are those controllers there on the floor and something's moved? I'm very anal. I'm real OCD, right? And, things are a little bit out of place. And I looked over on the shelf, and we have a line of video game systems on the shelf. There's the...
Very elegantly composed, I might add.
Oh, yes, it is nice. There's the Xbox in my Playboy-themed graffiti skin or whatever.
You're very
Xbox.
Proud of that one, aren't you?
It's good. It's autographed. So next to that is the vertical PS2, and then the vertical Wii, and then the vertical PS3, and then the vertical Xbox 360. They're all lined up. It's like black, white. It's beautiful. But the towering PlayStation 3 was not there, and I thought perhaps my roommate... has taken the PS3 and showed it to a friend and something, left it in the trunk of his car. I have no idea. So I go upstairs and he wasn't really sleeping, it's just in bed. And I'm like, so what happened to the PS3? Oh, and there was a jacket downstairs that I didn't recognize. What'd you do with the PS3? And he's like, I don't know. What'd you do with the PS3? What do you mean? I'm like, are you effing with me? And he's like, no, are you effing with me? He's like, all right. I think someone took the PS3. And so he comes downstairs and he said, yeah, I didn't do that. And
holy smokes.
Yeah, after a lot of review, long story short, my house was broken into, or maybe not broken, but entered. One of the windows was unlocked, and I can't really believe that I left it unlocked.
Man.
But it's quite possible that that's what happened. I really don't think I did. But
That is terrible. So somebody just busted in and took your PS3.
Someone came in. Yeah, they pulled the screen off the window, you know, the little screen that you can pull out. And then they opened up the window, they came inside, they took the PS3. Now, here's the best part. They took the PS3, and you've seen this. I have controllers hanging on my wall.
Right.
My little, I'll put up a movie about that later. But
your metallic magnetic contraption, right?
Very cool, yeah. And it's just, they're hanging there on the wall, controller, and then there's another one in a bowl. Now, this person who broke in apparently had accessed the bowl O controllers, where the Wii controllers are and some 360 controllers and stuff, because the 360 controller had been moved from the bowl over to another table and not taken.
Maybe he played some 360 games and decided I don't like these
games. Wrap the cord around the controller to be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll choose the PS3.
That must be it. But in the end, yeah, he decided the PS3 didn't take a controller with it. I imagine it's harder to sell if it doesn't have a controller. But what do I know? Maybe he was keeping it for himself. Then you would think he'd probably want the controller.
Well, what I think he was probably doing was, you know, okay, what's the most valuable thing within my, you know, eyeball frustum? And, you know, let me get that as
towering,
fast as possible
shiny PlayStation
get out
3.
Of here.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I think he also took my MP3 player, which I believe was on the shelf next to the PS3.
Man.
But not
so he
a
didn't
deal.
Take any wires or anything? Like
no,
that.
He did take the audio, the power cable and the video cable. It was my high-definition component Sony brand cable, which I'm really mad about.
I feel for you, man.
So anyway, PS3 and the game and the PS2 game God of War, which was inside of it, are both gone. But luckily, I have the case to keep me company. So anyway, down to PS3. If anyone's lowballing a resold or a used PS3, yeah. Let me know.
Maybe you should keep an eye out on like eBay auctions.
I went on
to
Craigslist to see if it was there.
I
found one, but it was listed the day earlier, so it really couldn't have been mine. But anyway, suffice to say, not a great week. Looking into security systems, I've got cameras in the house now and alarms that'll blare off. People keep telling me to get dogs, but that's not happening. But they said maybe an alarm could play when there's motion in the house that sounds like a dog.
Then you'd have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Until they figure out it's just a fake speaker.
Exactly. All right. So moving on. I hear you got to watch a little bit of Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you about what I did this weekend. I was watching my friend play Kingdom Hearts 2. And I haven't actually played the first one. But the thing that I was really struck by was that, well, first of all, the game starts out with this kind of like introductory sequence to kind of give you the backstory, which kind of like almost...
Does it just cover all of the first game?
Yes. Basically, you're like, you go through this 3-hour sequence, which is like just the beginning of the game. Like, you're not even starting the real game after about 3 hours. 3/4 of this are non-interactive scenes. And, you know, you guys have heard me bitch about non-interactive stuff in the past. But I have a little different angle here to present to you guys, because it was actually kind of entertaining to, you know, watch the story unfold, you know. In fact, you know, I played a little bit of it.
The prelude part or after the game actually started?
Well, the whole thing. The prelude thing was annoying because, first of all, you know, I guess if you didn't, it almost made the presumption that, you know, you have to have played Kingdom Hearts 1 to understand everything.
Well, I think they were making the point that here's what happens even if you didn't play the first one.
Well, no, they didn't really do that. They just kind of like ended up giving you like a bunch of images and stuff that came from the previous game without a lot of explanation.
Okay.
So you kind of like got to experience like most of, I don't know, a lot of the graphics from the first game from start to finish, it seemed.
All right. So you're saying this intro was maybe a little bit goofy.
So perhaps.
See why that was a pun.
Perhaps even a little goofy.
That was funny. Because there's a dog named Goofy.
That's, I got it.
In the Disney world.
That's, anyway.
All right, moving along.
It's, what was I saying? There's, you know, I played a little bit of it, and I watched a lot more of it, and there are two things that really struck me. The first one was that, wow, playing this game is a lot more fun watching it than actually playing it. Now, you know, most of the narrative was pretty interesting and entertaining, but because it takes so long for anything to happen, it was just almost like, I don't know. It was almost like as if they had kind of, you know, done Lord of the Rings the movie in, like, book time or something. You know, it's just...
How can you say that it would be more fun to watch than to play? Unless you've got someone who's really skilled at the game that you
right.
can keep your focus on,
well,
I would
here's
never
the thing,
want to watch someone
because
play.
Because most of the value in the game is actually, you know, didn't come from a lot of the interactive sequences. You know, I mean, there's battles and stuff that you fight, but, you know, everything in this game, except for the actual game mechanics, are so beautifully, so incredibly done. I mean, some of these graphics, which are, you know, all procedural, they're not like, you know, FMV or anything like that. I don't think there's really any video or anything like that in the game. They're absolutely incredible. I'm like, wow, I can't believe they can get a PS2 to look this good.
Didn't you see some of the Final Fantasy games, man?
I played some of the Final Fantasy games too. This is some of the best graphics I've ever seen coming out of PS2. It's fantastic. I mean, everything about the game is great, but except for when you're playing it, it's like,
Everything about the game except the gameplay.
Right.
Okay.
And so you're
long
kind
we're
of
clear.
So you're kind of like watching this thing unfold, and they're just it's just taking way too long. You know, so you know, my question is, you know, are you getting, you know, you're getting more time spent with the game, right? But is it really quality time? It doesn't seem to be quality time. A lot of times they really like seem to kind of stretch out sequences to kind of like this excessive level. You know, they don't do that in movies. In movies, they're like, okay, you know what? You know, we have about like an hour and a half to maybe 3 hours to tell this story. And that's what they do, unless it's some kind of like serialized type of thing. Right? But
yeah,
since it's a game, they just seem to take this license like, you know, oh, let's try and stretch it out farther and farther and farther until it falls apart.
Are you thinking perhaps the game wasn't interesting because you weren't actually playing it?
No, I'm pretty sure. Because the parts that I played, which admittedly wasn't that much, were not nearly as entertaining as just watching it.
I don't understand how you could say a boring game is interesting to watch.
Because I didn't have to be challenged by the frustrating parts of the game. I could just watch the story unfold. Which was
yeah, but you said you're watching a bunch of dead time between the story. Anyway,
there wasn't that much gameplay. Trust
this,
me.
The story of this chapter of our show is over. We'll be back in just a minute, everyone.
AFX New Talk Radio 1100.
Welcome back to Chatterbox.
Chatterbox.
I thought I was.
Excuse me.
Go right ahead. I was just talking on the show. I thought I was instructed to go ahead.
All right.
Andrew likes to make an appearance every once in a while.
So, as you may or may not know, this is Chatterbox.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Thank you, Andrew.
Ara is here with us.
That's my name. Don't wear it out. We've also got Alon here.
Hi, everybody.
My wonderful co-host.
And don't forget me.
And Andrew back there, the troublemaker.
Andrew does the show, you know. Once, twice a month.
AKA engineer.
All right.
So you've got a special message for us, don't you?
A special message, everybody. You can go to uat.edu, the University of Advanced Technology, where you can learn about getting into the games industry by learning how to code or make graphics. That's what we do. We talk about our sponsors. All right. Are we wrapped up with the Kingdom Hearts talk?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious, you know, if anyone has some opinions about Kingdom Hearts 2, you guys can call in. You can call 866-536-1100.
You're a couple years late with the request, but I understand. A lot of people, you won't really hear anybody complain about it. It's pretty rare. Although we've gotten some emails that were not at all related to Kingdom Hearts, but for some reason at the end they squeezed in how they don't like Kingdom Hearts.
Really?
Or they do. It was weird. One week we had emails. I don't know why they kept referencing it, but some people said Kingdom Hearts is the best game ever, and some people said I absolutely hate it. And I have no idea what the original emails were in reference to, but we got a lot of email that week.
Anyway, I also wanted to say a couple words about this new Castlevania announcement that came out last week.
Just last week, Konami made a lot of announcements.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently, for the PSP, Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles is coming out. And I'm really excited about this because this is a compilation of two of, I think, the best games ever made. First one being...
We hear that a lot about these games.
Well, you know, I have about 10 best games ever made. In my head.
Ridge Racer 1 through 7?
No. only maybe one of the Ridge Racers would make that list.
Okay.
Anyway, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which originally came out on PlayStation.
Yep.
That's in this game. And apparently they did a graphics revision to a game that most people have never heard of.
The Rondo of Blood.
That's right. One of the Castlevania games that never came out here. And is actually
was it Turbo Duo that it came out on, or was it the Genesis?
No, it came out on the and you know, in Japan they call it the PC Engine.
Yeah, the TurboGrafx.
Super CD system.
Okay.
And over here they called it the Turbo Duo, but it never even came out on Turbo Duo.
It was just TurboGrafx.
It was what's that?
It was just the TurboGrafx.
No, it didn't just come out at all here. I mean, the Turbo Duo was released here, right?
Yeah, well, the TurboGrafx and then the TurboGrafx CD and then the Turbo Duo, which was the mix of the two with the Super CD,
right.
Or the Super Arcade card.
So in U.S. terms, this would be analogous to a Turbo Duo release.
Okay.
But anyway, this it was such a shame that this game never came out here because I think it's really one of the best arcade-style games. And I really think that, you know, if 2D side-scrolling games had continued to evolve, I think that this is the direction they would have gone in.
Did people like it better than Castlevania 4 on the Super Nintendo? That was highly acclaimed.
Yeah,
as well.
Castlevania 4 was awesome. I would say that, you know, that game and this one are really, really, really flippin' awesome for slightly different reasons, you know. So I would just go into a frenzy, you know. I wouldn't be able to pick the two, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for the few younger folks we have out there who may not have played Symphony of the Night, all the new Castlevania games that you've been playing for the last 5 years on the DS and the Game Boy Advance, they're all just Symphony of the Night on a small screen. That's all they are.
Well, here's the really interesting thing is that, and something that a lot of people may not know of, is that, you know, all the Symphony of the Night characters, pretty much every single one of them almost, were originally characters that appeared in Dracula X Rondo of Blood.
Really?
Almost pixel for pixel in a lot of cases.
See, I didn't realize that. Maybe that's why they put them together there on that PSP collection.
And the really beautiful thing about that game, which, you know, the reason why everyone needs to play this game is that, you know, they did certain twists on the arcade scroller genre, you know, where they had, you know, every single stage in the game had multiple routes. And while that's not anything new, one of the really cool things they did, which I've never really seen in any other game, is that, you know, most of the time when you're playing a side scroll, if you fall, let's say, you know, fall into some water or fall off a cliff or whatever, you die, right?
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, the first Castlevania was like that. Well, in this game, there's only, with few exceptions, almost any time you fall down somewhere, you don't die. You just go to a different part of the level.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I bet if you go all the way to the bottom, there's lava or something.
Well, you know, there are a couple places where there are bottomless pits. But the thing is that, you know, there's so many different ways to go. And you just have, like, this really, really beautifully interesting branching structure of all the levels. It's, you know, I can't really give it justice by talking about it.
Do you have a release date on that?
What did they say? I don't think that they had a release date, at least not the story that I was reading.
So we're actually actively promoting a PlayStation Portable game. Is that what you're telling me?
I guess we are. The other thing that's interesting is that they redid this game with 3D graphics, which I'm kind of on the fence about, because anytime they do that, especially with remakes, you just kind of get this, like...
Well, they have the chance to then screw up some other game mechanic, because essentially they have to remake the game, right, rather than just porting it.
There is that issue in, you know, these... While some of these screens look pretty cool, there's just, you know... You can get away with, I think, a lot more interesting stuff when you just have a 2D palette to work with than, you know, this 3D business.
All right. Well, certainly I can tell you that Symphony of the Night is great, because I played that. I never played the Rondo of Blood, but I probably can. Like last week we were talking about emulators.
That's
I could probably
true.
Find it somewhere, you know, but that wouldn't be right. Now that it's going to come out again, it would only be appropriate to buy for real. And that's sort of a topic that I wanted to talk about a bit. We covered it last week, and unfortunately, I don't think we did a very good job. I wanted to talk more about the good things that can come of basically the things that are meant to do bad things. Like, so all this piracy business and mod chips and things like that. Like,
right.
Back in the day, I kind of look back at the very original. So I had a story when I was just a wee little tyke in like fourth grade or third grade or something. My friend's like, oh, I've got a Japanese Nintendo, and it's got all these games on it, because it's like one cartridge of the million games that is surely illegal. I have no idea. So he gives me this thing called a Famicom. I had no idea, but I was like, all right, you say so. And he neglected to tell me the little thing about the electricity being different, and that he didn't realize that, like, in his basement at his house, they had a transformer. And so I plugged it in, and it started smoking. And
really?
That was the end of his Famicom.
Wow.
Oh, well. But, so that was my first foray into import games. Never actually got to play them. And that was a bummer. But then later on, he had an American Nintendo-sized cartridge, but it was from East Asia. So it had a bunch of, like, 20 games on one Nintendo cartridge. That was, like, gold. It was awesome. You had to jam it in there with, like, a hammer and a mallet to get it to fit into the system, because it was just, like, a millimeter off in size. But nice. It fit in, and eventually you could get it to work. So that was fantastic. And that was my first taste of the beauty that is, you know, piracy and Asian imports. I get to try all these different things that I'd never gotten to try before. And then comes along Super Nintendo and stuff, and I hear about all these different things.
Well, back then, they also had, you know, like disc copiers.
That's what I was going to say. They have disc drives. A lot of you might not know this. There was a CD drive for the Super Nintendo. They said there wasn't. Never made them. There was. But it just played copied games. And there were disk drives with 3.5 diskettes, and you could copy games. But more importantly, you could play imported games. And with the Super Nintendo, Nintendo wasn't really this way because it was a totally different form factor, but with the Super Nintendo, to get it to play an import game, all you had to do, seriously, was just remove little clips of plastic from the system.
That's right. I did many of those, actually.
Yeah. Unscrew the system and remove a plate, or just, like, cut them out or remove them with pliers, bend them out.
Yep.
Boom. You could play import games. No soldering. No, like, magic voodoo dance. You just pull out... Or you could cut your cartridge and to put slits in the place where there was plastic in your system. Whichever one you wanted. Cut the cartridge, cut the system, and you could play import games. And it was beautiful. And then came along the PlayStation.
Right.
Things got a little bit more complex. I'll talk a little bit more about that and then tell you the great things that come of the modding of video game systems. We'll be back in a minute.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back to the Video Game Radio Show called Chatterbox. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon. Next to me is...
My name's Ara.
And over there behind the glass, we've got Andrew, who may or may not be speaking for the rest of the show.
He's a little too firmly ensconced behind that glass.
That's true. Before we move on from our ensconced positions behind this granite desk, I want to remind everybody that we've got a website, chatterboxgameshow.com, and several other URLs might get you there as well. But chatterboxgameshow.com is where you can go and join in the live chat that may be going on with a few wonderful listeners.
You can email us.
You can email us from that site, and if you're emailing me about Tramadol or other vitamins or other drugs, I'd love to hear it.
What is got some side gig going on here?
A lot of listeners, apparently, send me emails wanting me to buy, over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs, and it's good. I'm just glad that they're listening and they're paying attention, and they want to send me email, so that's nice. There's a contact page on the website. You'll find it. And what else I want to say about the website? Oh, yeah, forums. Go on the forums. Chat it up. I haven't been on there a lot myself lately. I should probably go there.
We should both probably go there.
Yeah, as some crazy stuff happens on there. I try to avoid it sometimes, but maybe I'll go on there and post my webcams up for everyone to see now that my house is all secure from the thieving hoodlums
maybe
are my neighbors.
Maybe you can recruit some people to keep an eye on your house remotely. In fact,
perhaps. Maybe we can get up 5 people to move to Phoenix and rent the house across the street so they can keep an eye on my house all day. That'd be sweet. Parties every Friday. Okay, so I was talking about the evolution of piracy. And it's really interesting because a lot of amazing minds have touched on this. I guess like the promise of free stuff has made people do amazing things. So the PlayStation, they start doing mod chips. And at the time, Nintendo 64 is still sort of caught up in the ruckus. It was pretty easy to convert a Nintendo 64 to play imports. I don't remember how they did it. I think they just pulled plastic out again.
Yeah, I think it was the plastic thing once more.
So anyway, PlayStation comes along, and people figure out they have CD burners, and they can trick it by like putting a CD in and pulling the CD out and holding the lid sensor closed and weird crap like that. And eventually, Sony stops that with various firmware updates and stuff in the new systems. And people realize, well, we're just going to have to go straight at this and put our own microchips in the system. And so they put chips in. A lot of you have heard of them, mod chips and whatnot. And it explodes at that point, right? People can copy games. But that's not all, right?
You know what? I just want to interject here really quickly because I just remembered. There's a security device on Dreamcast games. Did you know that the data on the Dreamcast discs actually spiraled in the opposite direction from conventional discs?
No, I never even considered that it would all go in one direction, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. And they also started towards the outside of the disc.
So that...
Not from the outside, but there was a big old center where there was nothing.
Right, and that was pretty weird, too. But
that's
a little tidbit there for
faster
you.
Faster loading on the Dreamcast. Anyway, no, I didn't realize that. The Xbox, I think, read actually from the outside in.
Maybe it was the Xbox, actually.
The Xbox
read
from the outside in. I don't know if it spun the other direction, but...
I'm probably speaking horrible... mistruths here, but
yeah.
One of those consoles had that feature.
All right, let's keep it under our hats then if we don't really know what we're talking about. All right, so the PlayStation had mod chips, but not only could you play copy games with this, like I said, in the other instances, you could play imported games, which was very cool in the days of the PlayStation, because a lot of stuff was happening in Japan that wasn't happening over here. But also, people started writing their own code. And, I mean, I guess this had been done to an extent on the Super Nintendo and stuff, and maybe I was too young to realize that cool stuff was going on back then, but the age of the internet had hit for the PlayStation. So, you know, that wasn't really around back in the day. There was a little bit going on, but for the most part, not much. PlayStation comes along, people are writing all sorts of stuff. MP3 players, kind of hard because the hardware on the original PlayStation wasn't really up to snuff for that stuff. But they were doing all sorts of cool stuff, making their own games. They were writing code so that when you pirate games, you can put four of them on one disc. I mean, all these cool things that are sort of outside the boundaries of traditional gaming. And that really, really hit after the PlayStation. So like the, you know, people hacked the Saturn. You can do stuff on the Saturn too, although mostly it was just copying games. Nothing interesting. Then the Dreamcast, people did stuff with the Dreamcast too, where they were making homebrew games on the Dreamcast to the point that it actually, like people wrote a lot of very serious stuff on the Dreamcast. And I think they even, there was a game like, not Streets of Rage.
By serious, do you mean pornographic?
Well, there's that too. But wasn't there a game called Beats of Rage? Which was basically, it was trying to be like Streets of Rage, just a beat-em-up, but then you could download various graphic packs and whatever. And that started off, I think, on the Dreamcast and then spread to like every other system. Or might have started on the PC, and then the first one I found out about was the Dreamcast. But they were doing a lot of really cool stuff on it. And the PS2 comes along, same thing. It's always this mod chips, right? At Dreamcast, actually, they did another way, which is more convenient for people without having to solder. But anyway, so PlayStation 2, Xbox, they're nuts. And for any those of you who don't know about the hacking you can do in an Xbox, you're probably living under a rock. But the original Xbox, you could do everything. Media Center, all sorts of... Media Center is the most useful utility on the planet, right? You can watch any sort of movie that you could ever think of that would run on your PC. You could run, you know, all of your music, and you can network it to your computers and get all the music off of those. And you can read news off the internet, and you can watch Apple video trailers, and anything you can do on your PC, basically, people can switch over. Dance Dance Revolution clones you can put on the Xbox. It absolutely exploded. Everyone and their mother was writing stuff for the Xbox because it got completely leet hacksword. And it was great. So all these great things came from the fact that, you know, some company realized they could make a buttload of money if they made a mod chip and then sold it so people could copy games. But the homebrew stuff that came out of it was just really good. And that's not really taken place with all the new secure advanced features of the Xbox 360. And it makes me sort of wonder that maybe the PlayStation 3... Like, have you played around with PlayStation 3's Linux stuff? Anyone at work?
Well, not at all. I mean, I'm sure there's people that I work with that have done some stuff
like that. Maybe Sony's trying to, like, get people to not pirate their stuff if they give them the homebrew access right out of the box by saying, here, just load Linux. You can write whatever you want. Yeah. Do whatever you want on it.
Maybe with these new systems, I mean, you know, they just need a little more time before the hackers catch up with...
Yeah, well, one of the problems with what Sony's doing is that they don't really give access to the important stuff, like the graphics and things. In Linux, it's harder. Like, at least on the PlayStation 2 Linux, you didn't have access to some of the I.O. and the graphics engines or tubes or tunnels or whatever the hell runs
right.
inside
well,
of those things.
Well, these hobbyist-type programs, they always give you some sort of limits on what you can develop.
Yeah, because they don't want you to make a full-blown game and just be able to distribute it. You know, they don't want you to actually do fun stuff.
Even though the builds that you make can't be distributed anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, Xbox 360 comes along. You don't have to hack it. They say, here, XNA Creators Club. And anyone can just be building games right now. And it's relatively cheap to be a part of that, too. So all these cool things are happening. And what I was trying to talk about last week was the cool stuff that Xbox Live is doing, or what it's really become and how they've managed to... And I don't think they really intended it to be a way to avoid piracy, but in the day of an always connected computer, that's how they managed, like on the PC side, they've managed to stop a lot of piracy because they've gotten games, first of all, that people actually want to play.
Right.
So let's use, any one of those first person shooter games that you can play online as an example, right? And I don't know, maybe they found ways to hack it, but as far as I understood, I've saw people actually buying copies of the game who normally would never buy copies of games because in order to go online, you use the company's server to meet everybody who wants to play the game, right? And as long as the company has you calling into their server, they can tell if you're playing a legit copy of the game. Or at least, you know, that not more than one person is playing on that possibly copied version of the game, which at one point was licensed.
Right.
So that's a way to do it. They got everybody online. Now, Microsoft comes along. They put their Xbox online, but barely, sort of too late, not well enough. And people have already cracked the hell out of that system. But as soon as someone did hack it, if you were playing an Xbox Live game, they stopped it. They basically stopped your machine from working on Xbox Live. So people were getting multiple systems, one to hack and one to go online, because they realized, okay, online is cool, especially for Halo 2. Now the 360 comes along, everyone's online. And in fact, I have a large enough friends list now, because we have listeners and whoever's signing up, and I'm meeting more people who play online through my roommate. I have a large enough friends list that anytime I go on, I've always got at least a few friends who are online. And there's so many people who I would never even imagine would have been online playing video games. Not even that they're meaning to play the games, but since their Xbox is connected because they want to play one game online,
right,
that means they're always on live. So I can tell the last time they were on and what game they were playing. And it's ridiculous, the stalker-style information you can get from Xbox Live. But it's done the job of creating a community for people in an area of their lives that a community didn't previously exist. It may have. Like, I might have said, okay, I'm going to go play Quake, and I'm going to meet these people that I see playing Quake Friday nights at 8, right? Or I guess that's not the time I would often be playing a video game, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
A community is created. Now, did you ever play a lot of online games? Did you meet people and get into this WoW thing or anything like that?
You know, I'm deliberately avoiding WoW with all my effort, but I did waste many, many hours on Phantasy Star Online.
Okay, and that's actually, it's on Xbox 360 now, at least demo or something.
Yeah, there's another one, number three or four or whatever.
Phantasy Star Universe.
Universe, they just drop the numbers altogether.
That gets too complicated once they release a card game.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's all the, a lot of people. These days, you know, I don't know. My friends who are playing games, they all have friends in real lives. Once you get old enough and you can go to a bar, then suddenly your life gets more interesting. But before that, you know, I imagine that I would be on Xbox Live way more often if I were still 17.
Right? Probably.
Without a whole lot to do, living at mom's house, I would probably be on there a lot because it would become a social atmosphere. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I get back as well. If anyone wants to relay some of their Xbox Live experiences, anyone pick up any chicks on Xbox Live? Anyway, 866-536-1100. We'll be right back after the break.
Talk Radio 1100.
Graduate.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I am the Chatterbox Alon. That's Chatterbox Alon on Xbox Live.
Way to plug your Xbox Live.
I'm just wacky. It's Crazy Al here. Up in this mug.
Yeah.
What's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Arashur, which is my first name and the first four letters of my last name.
That's right. A-R-A-S-H-R-I-R. Yeah.
I didn't feel like spelling out the whole thing because everyone would get confused. There's all those I's and N's.
That's a lot of button tapping. So you can find us at chatterboxgameshow.com. You can find that gamer tag information. You can find our forums, our emails, our little headshots. We don't have Andrew on there. He doesn't want to get on the website. But anyway, we're on there ourselves, and what you also won't see there is me with my degree for UAT. You won't see that I put that on the website because I don't know if it really belongs. You've got the job. You're the game designer. Me, I just talk about games. But I did go there. I went to UAT. I learned how to make games, learned a little bit about the art, and I know that we have some listeners who went there too and or decided to go there anyway after they heard me talk about it. So I'm done talking about that. Moving on here, we were talking about piracy. And the wonderful things that came of it, and actually how it's sort of expanded. One of the things that the Xbox 360 team did when they decided to make the new hardware and implement all the new software features that it had was they looked at the original hacked Xbox's media player. They realized, well, people want a lot of this functionality. And this is something that Gates himself has actually talked about in interviews, that they realized the community did all these great things. They had to, you know, do the mod chips and things that Microsoft wasn't happy about. But, they also did a lot of amazing things with it. And so that's why you've got the media playing functionality in the 360, and unfortunately it's a little bit hindered, but it's still there.
Well, hasn't Microsoft always kind of like pushed this kind of media convergence thing with their console, or at least wanted to?
Yeah, they tried. They had a media extender on the original Xbox, but now it's all integrated and it's really part of the system. The Xbox was really like the trial effort. And that's what I've talked about this in the past, how a lot of video game systems, like, there's the second generation of a generation becomes better. Like, the Nintendo was sort of like the first foray into games, at least into modern gaming. And then the Super Nintendo solidified the 2D gaming experience. It was an excellent version of what the Nintendo started. And then there were some 3D graphics with the PlayStation, but the PS2 did 3D graphics really, really well, right? And now the Xbox 360 and the PS3, these are sort of the first generation into whatever the next generation will be. I don't know.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I think someone important in the game industry said once something to the effect of, you know, you have to kind of make the same game three times to make it really the way you want to. So
yeah,
I think that definitely applies to hardware as well.
Anyway, we have some other things we got to do this segment. We don't have a lot of time. So really, I bring up this topic for the second week in a row without enough time here. But I'm learning more and more how nearly perfect Xbox Live is in creating a community. And I wish I had more time now to participate in it. But, you know, as an adult, you have a few more things going on in your life. But for like that, those mature teenage years where you're not necessarily like out of the house and living your 24 hours every day, you've got a lot of time to spare.
Right.
But, you know, you still have a lot of things going on. They've managed to suck people in. And it's not necessarily World of Warcraft. It's not playing the same game over and over and over and doing the same boring thing over and
over.
For
people not getting sucked on by anything else, you get sucked in by Xbox Live.
Yes.
Which also...
Here, there's people playing different games all the time, but they're always being part of this community. And so it's sort of... There's people playing different games all the time, but they're always being part of this community. And so it's sort of... I think the whole concept of online gaming, it's obviously become a lot more standard the last several years, but... What is so attractive about it to a lot of people is that it puts them into a community where, you know, we can be playing with 10-year-olds and I can be, you know, with my roommate who's older than me playing with these little kids, and the little kids will, you know, beat the older guy. And so it's created this level playing field for everyone, at least to participate in one's lives. And I don't know. I could go on and on about this.
Well, if I can interject real quick, you know, I've always been a fan of competitive gaming. And definitely that side of it, I think they've done a really good job fostering, even though the whole gamer score thing, I think, is BS.
Yeah. Well, some might also argue that the competitive part of it becomes moot, basically, when everybody cheats and you can never trust who you're playing against. But once you get a good community of friends, then it becomes...
Yes. When you can kind of have your inner circle type thing, and the interface definitely kind of mirrors that. So,
yeah. And what I was talking about last week is how, like, it's sort of related to anti-piracy, because you create this group of friends, right? And like my roommate and his brother and their friends, they all play Gears, right? But the next game that comes along,
that's right,
they're not going to play Gears of War anymore. They're going to play this next game. Like Call of Duty 3 fizzled. Apparently they didn't like it. But it could have been that they were playing Call of Duty 2. One person gets Call of Duty 3 and they're like, hey guys, all right, we're playing Call of Duty 3 now. Number 2 is old. Screw that. We're playing Call of Duty 3. And then 2, 4, 8 people all get Call of Duty 3. And they've managed to get people through the community that they've created to want to actually buy real games. And I just, you know,
hey, that's the best way to market your game
for them. Make actual good products and build a community around it, and people will actually buy your stuff. It's absolutely amazing.
So I heard we have a caller or something.
Andrew tells me we have a caller, but I can never trust him because sometimes he puts wackos on the air. What's his name, Andrew? This is Eric from where? Eric from I have no idea. You're on the air with us.
Hey,
how's it going, Eric?
Eric from North Carolina.
Eric from North Carolina.
Wow, this is very intriguing. I think I know someone named Eric from North Carolina.
Yeah, I think you do. And I'm calling actually to challenge Ara specifically on a point he's making here.
What, a challenge?
All right, well, I will tell you we have 60 seconds, so get that out quickly.
Well, Ara just said again this week what he said last week, which is sort of denouncing gamer scores as something interesting or important. And Alon, you made the point last week that the whole leaderboards... in Xbox Live, really, is something that's making it that's making that online experience something.
It's making it impossible for me to put the damn controller down, is what it's doing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can resolve this situation.
You haven't played in a while, and you see that somebody in your community has a higher score than you, and you want to play it some more.
Geometry Wars is breaking my balls.
Why? Maybe you don't even like the game anymore. And I just want to challenge Ara specifically on that point, because I happen to know Ara, and that in a previous life. He was not a game designer. He worked in the field of business, performance support software, and we wrote an article together and published it, and we made the point specifically that SCORE was one of those. The article was about how to take game design philosophies and principles, and
all right, Alon, I've had enough of this. Can we get rid of him?
All right, I take your challenge, Eric.
Apply it to business systems.
I'd like to challenge him to take a lozenge for his throat.
I'd like to challenge you to shut the F up.
He's talking to Andrew there, not to the caller.
All right, well,
there's
two things here that we're talking about. And there's the general gamer score, which is like the total number of points you've accrued everywhere. And that, I think, is BS. And the other side of it is that, like, you know, yeah, you know what, like, gamer score on, like, individual games or, like, you know, just high scores on a per-score basis, like, those, I think, are awesome because then you know how, you know, exactly how well you did in some kind of challenge compared to someone else. But, like, your general gamer score, all that really measures is how many different games I've played, pretty much, which is not a measure of
skill.
But
not so true because I've been playing Geometry Wars into the ground lately, and I still only have 60 points on it.
Well, meanwhile, that's what I mean.
But my friend has 150 points. He's got 90 points more than me because he's way better than me at it. So the gamer score is a collective. How good are you at games? Now, granted, you get some points really easily, so you could just play a million games.
You can game
score.
The whole thing and just by renting games and stuff.
I guarantee you, though, you're not going to have a high game score unless you're actually good at those games. Not necessarily because you're good, but you are good if you're playing that many games.
Well, there's a lot of subtle points in here, but
yeah, I guess we could go on and on. Was that the only point you were going to make, Eric?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Just that it's tapping into that piece of human nature.
Next challenge? Next challenge?
All right, well, we'll wait for your call next week, Eric. We appreciate it. Now, of course, this is the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check out ChatterboxGameshow.com as well as AllGames.com, where we're replayed during the week. That's All Games Radio. We thank you very much for being a listener, and we will be back next week. Anything to say, Ara?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.